Don 5, Ward 1.
Don, you're going to have to keep your voice up.
Can you hear me? Mr. Mayor, Mr. President, members of the council, and to the new chief. It's been a long time since I've been up here talking. I just want to, I got a lot to say, but I don't know where to start. I'm a lifetime Warwick resident. I love the city. I hate to leave. There's a lot of people leaving. At one time we had 19,000 students in Warwick. Now we have 8,800 people leaving. Schools are closing. There's more retirees than there are active employees to keep the people with pensions, pay them. What is the average salary of firemen nationally? Anybody know?
I don't have the information, sir, no.
What is the average salary of firemen in Warwick compared to the national average?
I don't know what the national average is. It'd be a guesstimate.
It's $53,000.
I'm sorry?
$53,000 a year. And the Warwick firefighters' average salary is $96,000. That's a lot of money. And it's all paid by the taxpayers. And the teachers, their pay is in the top 3% in the country. And Rhode Island has the seventh highest property taxes in the country. The seventh highest in the country. That's incredible. Where's it going to end? Where's the line of the sand? When are you going to start changing, making dramatic changes? You can't tax people out of the homes. People are leaving now, and it's a beautiful city. It's a beautiful state. Tell you a story.
Mr. Fife, we try and limit,
I'll make it quick.
And I'll give you a little bit of leeway, but we're trying to narrow the issues with regard to questions regarding the fire department. Certainly welcome a statement, but not stories about things that had happened in the past. But I'll give you a little bit of latitude here, but we're going to move it along.
I wanted to mention about my neighbor. When he retired, they picked up and moved out of the state. Moved to Delaware because they had relatives there. And they had a nice house in Warwick. They had a two-bedroom. And they went to Delaware. They built their own home. They had it built. It's a three-bedroom. The house they have now, they could have put their house in, that they had in Warwick inside the one they have in Delaware. They have three and a half baths, 1 acre. They don't have city water. They have a well. They don't have a sewer.
Mr. Fife,
they have a volunteer fire department.
You got to get to the point here.
They have 1 acre and they pay $980 a year for taxes. That's a year. I pay almost that a quarter. It's incredible. My point is, don't tax people out of their homes.
Thank you.
We love you here.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Is there anybody else here to speak on this issue? If not, Brian, if you could go to the next topic. I think it's fire grants.
Correct. Next item, Mr. President, is fire grants, which can be found on page 36.
Sure. Fire Department's requesting $783,151 in the fiscal year 2020 budget. Zero was budgeted last year.
Okay, and these are coming from a grant writer, or could you just explain the program a little?
So if you want me to break it down, line item 38811, which is the FEMA AFG grant, is the 2017 AFG grant award for the heavy rescue vehicle that we approved in January. It'll be delivered probably the end of this calendar year, probably beginning of 2020. The $708,151 was the total grant award. That is offset by 90% match from the federal government in item 38900, which is a revenue item of $633,789. That leaves the city share at the $74,362, the 10% share.
Any questions from council members on the grants? Any questions from the public on grants? If not, Brian, could you move us to the next section?
Thank you, Mr. President. The next section is finance. That finance can be found on page 17 of the general fund and page 8 of the personnel supplement.
Sorry, Brian, sometimes you talk a little fast. What page number?
Sorry. Finance can be found on page 17 of the general fund and page 8 of the personnel supplement. Finance is proposing a increase budget of $574,240. That is a proposed increase of $145,582, or 11.79%.
Any questions on finance? Councilman Sinapi.
Just what's the contingency category? Because it seems to be going up significantly.
Contingency is an account that is for unbudgeted and unanticipated items throughout the year. We have a budget in front of you that's nearly $323 million. This is for unforeseen items. We had expenses in the current year related to the issues we've had sustained at the annex, as well as this chambers itself. So there's a lot of unforeseen items that happen throughout the year, and this is a very small percentage of when you factor in our budget as $323 million, nearly.
Any other questions on finance? Any questions from the public on finance? If not, Brian, can you move us to the next section?
Thank you, Mr. President. Next up is the tax assessor's office. Tax assessor can be found on page 22 of the general fund and page 12 of the personnel supplement.
Thank you. Good evening. Neil Dupuy, Director of Assessing. For fiscal year 2020, I am proposing a budget for the assessor's office of $833,335. That is a decrease of about 29%, but I should say that the previous year did include a reevaluation charge that is a one-time fixed fee, so that's the reason for the large decrease. Even without the reevaluation, there's about a 9% reduction in the annual budget. There are two vacant positions within the office, one for the deputy tax assessor and one assessor clerk.
Is there any questions, Councilman Lattiser?
On the commodities, office supplies, dues and subscriptions, and gasoline, percentage-wise, there's a significant increase on those items. What is the reason for that?
In what item?
I'm sorry, in line 23201, 23204, and 23220.
Because we're located at Draper currently, at the John Green School. With the move over to Button Woods, it's a possibility that we might have some need for some new equipment. Other than that, there's no planned increases in the budget.
On the dues and subscriptions, that's up, it's up $500 over your projected for this year. Why would that be up? That's 23204.
The motor vehicle guides that we use to value the vehicles, they stopped producing one of the books. We now have to go with an online version, which is going to be a little bit more expensive for next year.
And I'm assuming on the salaries, there are no non-contractual increases or step increases?
There's just three longevity increases, but no other additional personnel.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Is there any other questions from council members? Any questions from the public? Okay, Brian, if you could bring us to the next section.
So on the
so the Board of Assessment review will be, as we started to talk about last night, that is on page 26 in the newly created boards and commissions.
Thank you, Brian. So for fiscal year 2020, we are proposing a budget of $16,250 for the Board of Assessment review. This is under budget item 73122
and
132.
You had mentioned this is a new, Brian, you said it's a new
team. Yes, this all boards and commissions now are going to be housed in one place. Previously, you had some boards and commissions that had their own department. Others were housed within departments. And again, in an effort by the mayor to increase transparency, this has been done in this manner. So all boards and commissions are visible to all taxpayers and anyone interested.
Thank you. Is there any questions from council members? Any questions from the public? Board of Assessment Review. If not, Brian, could you bring us to the next section?
Thank you, Mr. President. Next up is purchasing. Purchasing can be found on page 25 of the general fund and page 13 of the personnel supplement. Mr. President, before I turn it over to Pat, I just wanted to make you, the council aware of a couple things. Line item 26340, that is service contracts. That line item should have been budgeted for at $1,000, and it was budgeted at $25. It was an inverted. So 26380, that account should have been budgeted at $25 from $100. It stated 100, and the other account should have been budgeted at 1,000, and it went to 25. So the two were reversed. We'll have a list of proposed amendments for the council. These will be on there, but that this service contracts line 26340 is for the copier within the office. That should be $1,000, and the general services 26380 should be a budget of $25. Thank you.
Thank you. Pat, this is, when you talk about your budget and increases, is that related to salary or contractual obligation?
In regards to the salaries, yes, it is.
And no new positions and unfilled, what about unfilled?
We have no vacancies, no changes. Increases is only contract and one step increase.
Thank you. Councilman Lattisaw.
Patricia, what is 26380 general services for $100? What's that?
I'm sorry, say it again.
26380 general services. You got a budget in there for $100. What is general services?
That's any organizations as a purchasing agent that I would join. Right now, the $25 is for the purchase agent grouping for the state of Rhode Island.
Thank you.
Any questions from council members? Any questions from the public on purchasing? If not, Brian, could you bring us to the next section, which I think is city plan?
Thank you, Mr. President. Next up will be planning, which is can be found on page 55 of the general fund and page 31 of the personnel supplement.
Thank you, Mr. President, members of the Honorable City Council. I represent a budget that shows a negative 4.83% from last year. You'll see the two numbers, the differential between the 10.29, which may at first seem very drastic, is that we actually received two grants, Salters Grove, Rhode Island DEM grant, and Green Cemetery, Rhode Island DEM grant, and for some reason that pass-through carries through as $200,000. So obviously once that's removed, you're really looking at a minus 4.83%. I have a complement of six, myself, and a new posting. The posting is not funded right now. It's an economic development position. We're looking to develop, the mayor is looking to develop an economic development cluster in the city. We're actually seeking grant funds through the Economic Development Administration grants to possibly fund that. The idea would be that would be more of a solicitation of potential economic development, job-creating industries, which then could be handed over to the business development coordinator as a one-stop shop. It's really about hand-holding and soliciting. At best, our economic development approach has been ad hoc before Mayor Solomon took office. Being in the private sector, he realizes that we need to be out in the community and not just be reactive. My budget is a very, I think, tight budget. I'm proud of both this budget and the executive budget, which both came in under. And I'm here to answer any questions that you may have relative to my budget.
Councilman Sinapi.
Just one, the professional services line, 6360. It's gone up quite a bit over the years. Can you just explain that line?
Absolutely. It's a great question. Actually, I wish it was even more. What this professional services budget has been used for instance, was roads. So the road school was given to us, so everyone's hooray, we got this great building. We just realized that there's environmental consequences to removing that building and raising that building. And it's not just taking a bulldozer and bringing it to the landfill. So what the professional services budget did in this case was actually go out for services to look at the remedial costs to remediate the building, then to remove it. So we hired a consultant. We also hired a lab to do testing. We found out it was going to cost the city some $700,000 to remove that building. Those professional services were for something like this. Don't forget, we still have the Aldrich building. We have the administration building, and we have WIX. So that budget is actually very short for actually doing the things to move the city forward. In the roads, it ended up very well in the end. We had a developer. That land would be put back into single-family development. We have new neighbors. We have a community built, and we get taxes. Without a small investment in these professional services to jumpstart a chain reaction, these progressions cannot happen. I anticipate that professional services budget will be used for the other buildings we just spoke about. Mainly, I think immediately, Aldrich, the administration building, and maybe even WIX.
Got it. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Councilman Lattiser.
Chief, could you just explain the state grant pass-through for us, 6442, please?
Yeah. Thank you, Mr. Chair. That is actually a state grant. Kind of excited about this. Salters Grove and Rowland DEM, the mayor was out there and is part of his playground initiative, is really desirous to obtain grants. And in this case, it was taking Salters Grove, working with the community that was incredibly helpful in devising a grant to create a new playground and redesign that with Luke in our office, the mayor, and it really was a great example of how the community, the mayor's office, the council, who authorized this, can get together and take it. What was a derelict? We all know Salters Grove has been derelict since I was a kid, and make this a really a renaissance project. Now, the same can be said about Green Cemetery, Rhode Island Grant. Green is one of the most influential people in this United States history, and he's relegated to, and the family's relegated to maybe, you know, a glass housing downstairs. This is meant to celebrate the Green family and what they did to this, for this great country of ours. What it also does is establish a nice walking path, and it really completes the Appanag Renaissance. We have AAA coming in and the new Sawtooth building. We have the roundabouts. We have the revitalization of Main Street. And now you're going to have a walking path that celebrates the Green family and another great, tremendous grant. What happens for some accounting reason, and the bean counters say they have to do it, it's charged to account, makes it $200,000, go to the bottom line and get some ridiculous amount. But those are the two projects. As you can tell, I'm pretty excited about that.
Our planning director is very, very excited about his job.
And it's 10 o'clock at night.
Is there any other questions? Councilman Ricks.
Returning very briefly to line item 6360, and especially since the director mentioned professional services in terms of projects like roads, it really is being wise about spending money and making sure that really, well, the department name is planning, and this is all about planning. I feel like I have to speak on this item in particular and praise Mayor Solomon and the director on this in particular. Because in the past, the previous administration, I felt, was at times being penny-wise and pound-foolish. And I remember a particular instance where, when I was advocating for these types of services to be done at Rhodes Elementary to make this sale happen, benefit the neighborhood, benefit the city, that I had been told by someone who is no longer here that I should find the money in the budget to make this happen. I was being told this in my very first year, perhaps about 6 months onto my first term on the council. And so we shouldn't be putting anyone in that position of trying to find the money to save the city money and do what's right by the citizens. And so I'm glad to see that this money is being allocated so that we can do the job for the people and really just for everyone's benefit. So I want to just make sure to recognize credit where credit is due here. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other questions for the planning department? Brian, you have a question for the planning department?
I don't. I just wanted to make a comment. The state grant pass-through that Mr. DePasquale spoke on page 77, account 6920 is the state grant pass-through revenue. That is the corresponding $200,000 revenue line item to go along with that item. So I just wanted to pass that along.
And that's there was professional services, the $17,500, and that was for an outside consultant, Bill, or...?
Professional services, Mr. President, is 6360. We're asking $30,000 in the austerity budget. I was a little, you know, I wanted to actually have 37, but the mayor said no, enough. So he proposed $30,000. And again, we have, again, those three projects. We still have Aldrich. We still have the administration building. We have Wicks that we may have to repurpose. And these are million-dollar projects. So when you're looking at $30,000 to get the ball rolling, it really is about moving the city forward with these properties.
And do we have any vacancies in your department?
The vacancy will be the economic development coordinator and the director's position.
So we never needed a director to begin with.
You need a new director.
So talk about an austerity posture. You're taking two positions on, Mr. DePasquale. Thank you. Is there anyone else here to speak on this issue? Sorry, council members to ask questions on this issue. Any members of the public want to speak on planning?
If not, we'll move to City Collector.
Thank you, Mr. President. Collector can be found on page 21 of the General Fund and page 10 of the Personnel Supplement.
Good evening. My name is Kyla Jones. I'm the tax collector for the City of Warwick. The proposed budget is $821,315. We currently have no vacancies. Our only increase is in salaries, which is contractual, and one of those is a step increase. I was able to cut all line items. However, it does look like there's an increase because of the revised the budget reduction plan, where I was able to cut down to bare minimums for this year.
Councilman Lattiser.
I'm sorry, what was that?
Kyla. I was asking Councilman Lattiser had his hand up. He has a question.
The increase on 2022, again, that's 22202, print, bind, and reproduct. What is the reason for the increase on that?
That was actually one of the places that I cut for the budget reduction. We originally had $25,000 in there. That's for bill printing. This year we just went out to bid again on this item, and their prices did go up a little from last year's contract. So we were a little conservative with the $23,500, not much, but just in case we had additional bills or any errors printing.
And the tax sale item, could you speak to that, please?
Yes, actually, we just had our tax sale on Friday. That's why it's not in this projection. That was as of May 15th. Our current cost right now for tax sale was $114,450. However,
I'm sorry, Kyla, could you repeat that again a little slower, please?
Currently, the cost for the tax sale is $114,450, but I still have the deed preparation to pay for, which those aren't ready yet through the tax title company.
What do you think that, what does that normally average?
We have, a 93 properties that were sold at the tax sale with the deed preparations being approximately $209 per parcel.
209?
Yes.
For how many units?
93.
93? So, yeah, okay. All right. Okay, thank you. I'm sorry, no, I have another question. 22360, professional services.
That's for our collection agency. Right now, it's with Rossi Law Firm. That also went
it's
out.
With who, please?
It's right now, it's with Rossi until the end of the year. We just went out to bid for that as well and have switched companies. So I'm hoping that having a new set of eyes on our outstanding balances will bring in more revenue. Okay. And that's paid out based upon the percent that they collect. So if they don't collect, they don't get paid.
Sounds good to me.
Any other questions from council members? Any questions from members of the public? If not, Brian, could you bring us to the next?
We do.
Oh, yes, sorry.
Thank you. John Simino, Ward 6. I'm interested in the 22-323, the tax sale. You said you had 93?
93 properties were liened at the tax sale on Friday, yes.
Okay, and what are the requirements for those? Are they the only properties that owe the City of Warwick taxes?
They are. They are past due taxes for real estate, water and sewer usage, and for sewer assessment.
Okay. I've been trying to find out information on one for a while now, probably two or more years, that I have the printout from the computer system that you use or that you give to the citizens to view this information. And I have a piece of property that up to right now, since 2011, owes the city over $2,500. And there's been no tax sale that I'm aware of. And I'm wondering why that one may have been left out of the tax, since you just said you did all of them.
Mr. Sima, if there's individual properties and you have a concern, I suggest that you talk to her and bring it to her attention and let her research that answer, because I doubt on individual properties she's going to have an answer. I think she's here to talk about the budget and to answer budget questions. I don't think there's a problem, you know, researching any issues that you have.
I have talked to her about it. I have talked to the previous administration about it. I have talked to this entire city council about it on numerous occasions, and I still haven't got an answer. So that's the reason why I'm doing it now, because in the open, maybe I will get one.
Okay. Well, if it's a question regarding the budget, I mean, do you know what...
Tax sales.
It's a tax sale question. If there's an issue that a property isn't being sold, I think, you know, you can certainly send me an email, and I can send it to her, and I'll definitely get you an answer if there's a particular property that's not being sold, and it should have been.
I think I've sent you 4 or 5, but I'll send it to you again. Yeah,
I don't recall, but that's fine. We'll deal with it. Okay. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks a lot.
Any other questions?
Mr. President.
Yes.
Oh, yes, Kyle, I'm sorry. Could you just repeat the tax sale numbers? I think you said there was 93 properties. At how much per property?
For the deeds preparation, $209 per parcel.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Any other questions? If not, we'll move to insurance. Brian, what page is that on?
Thank you, Mr. President. Insurance can be found on page 70.
Brian, you said page 70.
70, yes. The proposed budget for insurance for fiscal year 2020 is $2,060,650. That is a proposed increase of 5.22%. The bulk of this budget is made up of insurance premiums, which is the property and casualty insurance for all city properties.
And is there a reason that it had gone up 5%?
We go up every year. Actually, we have not, as of right now, we have not gotten the number from the trust yet. This is, they perform, and they have each city and town will have to perform an audit where we provide the information of what our properties are and vehicles, et cetera. That has been completed. We have not gotten a new number back. So the number right here is actually a estimate that was provided, and we're still awaiting the actual number.
Thank you. And obviously, is this an item that would go out to bid? Thank you. So the answer is yes. Councilman Lattice.
Yes.
Yes. Thank you, Mr. President. Brian, I'd just like to point out, I think that you could be another huge asset to the city, particularly during the tax sale times, because you talk so fast, you could be an auctioneer. I think that we need to give you one of those reassigned duties. But we're catching on. After 8 hours last night and 6 hours tonight, we're getting there. We're catching on to you, buddy.
Okay, is there any other questions on this? Any questions from council members? Any questions from members of the public? And that's on insurance. If not, we'll go to personnel.
Thank you, Mr. President. Next up is personnel. Personnel can be found on page 14 of the general fund and page 5 on the personnel supplement.
Thank you.
Good evening, Mayor Solomon, Council President Mamarola, and honorable members of the City Council. My name is Jean Bouchard, and I'm presenting the personnel supplement. The total budget is $387,248. That consists of salaries for seven staff members for a total of $377,848. There's no vacancies. I do have two employees moving to a higher longevity bracket, and I have an employee on steps. There are no other increases. We've decreased the budget by 1.16%.
Did you say there were no vacancies?
No vacancies.
Okay.
Correct.
So we got a fast talker and a low talker. You got to keep up your voice. Okay. We got any questions here from council members on this budget? Jean, I noticed professional services went up. I'm looking at the wrong section. Apologize for that. Any questions for council members? Any questions from the public? If not, we'll move on to MIS.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. President. Next up is MIS. MIS can be found on page 24 of the general fund budget and page 11 of the personnel supplement.
Good evening, I'm Phil Carlucci, the director of the MIS division. The proposed $1,692,307 budget for the MIS division that you have before you shows a slight decrease budget year versus budget year. I would highlight that the reduction is in spite of an extraordinary expense precipitated by Microsoft discontinuing the support of their Windows 7 operating system, which the vast majority of our PCs in the city run on. I would also like to explain a change in this year's accounts, excuse me, prior year's submissions lumped telephony and data expenses into one account in order to gain a little better control and visibility into these areas. We've broken them out into the appropriate separate accounts. That's 303 for telephony and 307 for data. That's why you see the large decrease and offsetting increase in those two items. Lastly, I'd like to mention that we have two open positions that we are working diligently to fill, and I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Is there any questions, Councilman Lattison?
On 25231, could you just speak to us regarding the increase in supplies and computers?
That's actually stemming from an increase. Let me get the things. That's actually stemming from an increase in year-end forms from Tyler. We ran a little bit short this year, and took us late into the night. Yeah.
Thank you. Sorry, Mr. President, I do have one other question. The adjustment in the training and education, that was budgeted at 18.5, and the austerity budget was 6,000. Why was that changed?
To coin a phrase, trying to do more with less. That's just going to be an incentive for us to save money in other ways and try to get creative in how we do our training. Probably a little more use of online opportunities that don't cost any money, and we'll do some train the trainers to try to make that work.
Do you know who coined that phrase?
It was a very wise gentleman on the council, I believe.
Do more with less? I didn't realize you were here. Either that or you're looking back at the tapes. That's a good coin. Thank you.
Councilwoman Travis.
Yes. Can you explain professional service? I guess it went way down.
I'm sorry. 260?
25,360 professional services. It went down. Can you explain that?
Yes, I can. This previously contained copier and printer maintenance, which has now been moved to the service contracts area, which is a better representation of what the contract service, the printers and copy machines are.
The telecommunications, $300,966. That looks like that's a new line item.
Yes, as I mentioned, that was actually split out. Data communications, what we pay to have the data transfer between the different facilities and the telephone sitting on the desk, in the past that was all lumped under one account, which offered, I guess, more flexibility, but it didn't give, I'm used to having a little more visibility on those two items. Although they sound the same, they're very different from a technology standpoint and how you control them. So we broke them out this year. There's actually a slight decrease in the overall spend, but it just shows a line item that was zero last year for this current year.
And Mr. DePasquale, is this the area, and maybe I missed it in the budget or the discussion, where we were talking about purchasing of national grid poles, or was that in a particular line item, since this is telecommunications? I know that we had considered that over time. It was the lights, the street lights.
Are you referencing, we currently get a check from Sprint using our land?
No. No, I'm referencing the street lights that we were talking about, buying the poles for street lights.
No, the purchase, the LED prior to that, I think the anticipated income that was in last year's budget that was handed to the mayor before he was given the keys to the office with no pencils, that included anticipated savings of some $400,000 that was never realized, because in that, the idea would be you purchase the lights from National Grid, then replace them all with LED and have a tremendous amount of savings. The only problem was the RFP that came in to the city, to this honorable body, didn't include the LED. So you were going to purchase a bunch of lights that were in disrepair and were very inefficient. Luke, tasked by the mayor, has looked at every LED, Luke from my department, I'm sorry, planning department, tasked by the mayor, is looking at every LED solution from a myriad of companies, and has actually looked at several vendors, and we'll be actually looking at how we would fund some time of purchase and replacement of the LED, because there are really three components of it. It's purchasing the light from National Grid, it's maintaining it, and it's replacing the LED. We've been on this for some time now, and we're ripe for sitting together and maybe getting some solutions for this council and for the mayor to work on together.
Just going to make a statement. When you look at that bill, I'd like you to consider rental income from 5G possibilities, 5G rental from mobile companies.
I was involved. Lucas did involve the MIS department, and I sat with him. And I think what you're referring to is a smart city approach to it by using a 5G network and being able to do more with those than simply light up the streets, but control them on when they go automatically dim and all that wonderful stuff. And then we can include cameras and audio to make public announcements and emergencies.
So I guess Verizon will roll out, if they haven't already, 5G in Providence. It's only one of 20 cities in the entire U.S. that will have 5G. And the significance is if you run out of data, you slow down to 4G, and we all have 4G, so it's significant. You can run anything on 4G. On 5G, they can do almost real-time operations from New York to Boston or wherever. So 5G is significant. It's significant to business. It's significant to the city. It's significant to residents. And it's significant to Verizon, T-Mobile, and all these other companies because they're going to want to pay to be on the poles in these areas to provide the service to other people. And I think it's a good opportunity for us to have a revenue stream to purchase these, as Mr. DePasquale was saying, purchase these poles and get the LED program up and running, save us some money, and have a way to fund repairs. Thank you. Is there anybody else that have any questions from the council, questions from the public on this? If not, we'll move on to the library.
Thank you, Mr. President. Library can be found on page 43 of the general fund and page 27 of the personnel supplement.
Hi, my name is Chris LaRue. I'm the library director. The budget request for this year is $3,037,286. That's $61,000 more than last year. That's somewhat offset by increase in the state grant and aid of approximately $13,500. We have 51 staff members and 4 vacancies.
Councilman Lattiser.
Director, what is the reason for the spike in overtime from municipal? 43-106.
Yeah, for most of the year, we were without a lead custodian. And then we also had, for a couple of months, we had our other custodian out, and had one of our other two custodians out on medical leave, so we had to hire overtime from other departments.
From other departments.
Yeah.
And it appears as though, not appears, there is, there were some raises in your department. Who were those raises for?
Those are for the union employees.
For the what, please?
They're for the union employees.
Was that contractual?
Yes.
Did it include any step increases or?
I'm sorry.
Did it include any step increases, longevity increases?
I believe there was one step increase.
And were there any increases in director positions or deputy director positions?
No.
No salary increases?
No.
And 43,300 travel. What's travel for the library?
We use that for the maintenance for gas for the car when they go to the branches, and we also use it for staff if they go to a conference. Basically, we go to the Rhode Island Library Association conferences, which are held in the state.
That's all, Mr. President.
Councilwoman Travis.
Yes. Number 43,
the board made a concerted effort this year when we were asked to reduce our budget to reduce the amount for security. So they took $10,000 out of that line item, and we've been able to reduce the number of hours that we have security to accommodate it.
Any other questions on library from council members?
Yes, just for the record, the in-house security may be reduced. The library has immediate access to our police department in case of any illegal activity or disruption occurring at the library facilities. I would expect that the director has told his staff that if anything like that occurs there, that they had to notify the Warwick police. So I don't want the council to think that a reduction in security is a reduction in enforcement of our laws and ordinances within the city of Warwick, because that is a piece of property that we will continue and have monitored.
And we do have panic buttons in the building, and the staff are well used to using them.
Any other questions of council members on the library? Any questions for the library for members of the public? If not, Brian, if you could move us to the next department, Sewer Review Board.
Yes, Mr. President. Next is Sewer Review Board. That, again, is going to be within the newly created boards and commissions, which can be found on page 26. And on page 26, this is going to be line item 73139.
Scott, would you like to come down?
Some of you may know, or some of you may not know, that our former sewer director of the sewer department has retired. She's going on to another job. And we are currently posting that position. We have not filled that position at this point in time, but it is currently posted.
Mayor, could you, just for the edification of everybody, the sewer authority raises their own revenue, spends their own revenue, and...
Yes, that's true, but I don't want to... this council has significant input into the situations that exist under our roadways in the city, whether it be collapsing lines or expansion. And though we, on the financial aspect of things...
We don't have the power to amend this budget.
No.
Just so all council members are clear, we do not have the power.
It is an enterprise fund where they are expected to operate on the revenue they generate and pay their expenditures and salaries, etc., purchase equipment, deal with chemical purchases, things of that nature, based on the revenue. So you're absolutely correct. It's a different type of taxation. Their tax appears on the water bill, both in a usage and an assessment type of situation for the lines that go in front and the usage for the processing at the sewer plant.
Thank you. Is there somebody that's going to present on behalf of the sewer authority?
Mr. President, before they begin, I'm sorry. Is it me or did the lights dim? It just seems like it got darker in here.
It's a cost-saving measure that the mayor has implemented.
Thank you.
Councilman Howe, it's under the budget reduction plan. what division? Okay, so if you could give your presentation.
Good evening, Council President, Council Members. Scott Goodenson, the Superintendent. I'm here today with a couple of WSA colleagues, Anthony Poole and Earl Bond, to help answer any questions you may have on our budget, our proposed budget. Right now, the Warwick Sewer Authority is proposing a budget for $21,651,943. This represents an increase of 2.52% or $531,653. We currently have four vacancies at the Warwick Sewer Authority.
Councilman Tanapi.
Based on the last sewer authority meeting, am I correct in the statement that your projected revenue that you provided to us is going to be actually lower?
Councilman Snappy, I believe you're referring to with the pretreatment increases. Those increases are still under under review, and it's going to be something that you know, depending on the outcome, will could potentially impact the revenue and then making it a little lower. If it does go through, make it through the review process, then the then the projected revenue will stand as is.
Got it. Thank you.
And just to clarify one point to the council and the general public, yes, the sewer authority, relative to generation of the generating of the revenue to operate, is a different source than the tax dollar itself. They can, the authority of the office of the mayor in the city is for advice and consent to what actions they propose to do. So that does cross my desk. Also, the appointment of members to the sewer authority itself, which governs a lot of their actions, comes with my advice as to who to appoint, and this council's vote to confirm that appointment. So to say that the legislative branch and the executive branch of the city, contrary to the beliefs of others, that we have no say in the operation of that sewer authority, I can assure you, as mayor of the city, I have very much concern relative to the input and operation, and I plan on being just as vigilant with the operation of that department as I am with the city. And I look forward to your cooperation in the future relative to the confirmation of appointees. Thank you.
Mayor, could you also fill us in on bonding and the role of the city council also?
Oh, yes. Again, when it comes to the bonding authority, things of that nature, that comes through the city council and the mayor's office. A few years back, we issued authority for a significant amount of bonding for sewer expansion. Unfortunately, this first year of my taking office, on Thanksgiving Eve, I was on Sandy Lane with waste spilling over into the streets and into people's homes for a collapsed system that was known for a year to 2 years prior that was susceptible to collapse. There was also a collapsed line near the Veterans Junior High, a line getting ready to collapse. Had that line collapsed, you would have shut off a third of the city. So it's been a pet peeve and a priority of this administration to be proactive, because when those lines collapsed, it was very expensive for sewer authority funds to repair it. But if we're spending sewer authority funds, millions of dollars, to repair something that's collapsed, then that's funds we can't spend for expansion. That's funds we can't spend for expansion. However, with the help of members of the sewer authority and our DPW director, Matt Solitro, working together, taking that wall down that used to exist between departments, we were able to come up with a plan to line a lot of these weakened sewer pipes. And that has saved the taxpayers, although the ratepayers, exponentially in dollars. And that's what it's about, being proactive. It's about DPW working with the sewer authority, sewer authority working with DPW, water working with DPW and the sewer authority. We're one city. Though we have different concentrations, we all have different resources that we can tap into in these other departments. And that results in efficiency and a wise expenditure of tax dollars. And that's the direction we're going forward. So any attempt to put a wall up between departments or to talk negatively about, let's say, the executive branch of government, that's not going to be conducive to going forward. And those people, whether it be in water, sewer, DPW, or any other department, should probably look for the door, because that would probably be the best way for them to travel at that point. But I look forward to working with these fine gentlemen. They've worked well with us. The liners have worked out great. I've learned a lot about sewage and sewer treatment, more than I ever wanted to know. But I foresee some good times in the future, even though there may be some wrenches that are trying to be tossed into the wheels of Warwick City government. We're just going to chew those wrenches up and grind them out.
Mayor, and I also recall that the council has some oversight with regard to pensions also. Yeah,
just a little bit.
Just a little bit. So there are some, there are a number of issues.
No, there is overlap.
Yeah.
There's overlap in OPEB, things of that nature, pension
correct.
Funds,
yeah.
Benefits, medical.
Yeah, I think I know where they are too. Thank you.
Oh, you must have been around a while.
Okay. Is there any questions of members of the council of the sewer authority? Any questions from members of the council on the sewer? Any questions from members of the public on sewer? Yes, just identify yourself for the record.
Yes, John Simon, Ward 6 again. And I'm sure this will be my last statement if I'm allowed to say it. I know a couple times you said it wasn't budget related, even though it was gas, maintenance. But I want to make a point first, that since we've been here since 4 and it's now 10:37, 6.5 hours, probably two of that has been banter and BS going on amongst your own self. Nothing derogatory, I'm just saying. So, you know, I mean, give me a second to finish my comment this time before we call it a night. Back when Sandy Lane, which the mayor brought up, the sewer pipe went out, which was disgusting, okay? During that time, daily, I texted the mayor, I sent them pictures of, I even spoke to the female that was in charge at the time that's no longer there from the sewer authority. And I know these gentlemen are new and somebody's going to take their place. And it had nothing to do with them, as far as I know. But we had, for the whole duration that sewer project was being done, we had police cars parked at two locations on West Shore Road, one at Oakland Beach and one at Sandy Lane, so that they controlled the boxes for the cars that went by. Good idea for probably the first 1 or 2 days. Down the street, across from General Dollar and Dunkin' Donuts and Dave's, there was a big police sign that said, slow down, you know, traffic, Sandy Lane, detour, all this stuff. Beautiful. But this went on for months and months. And you say the coordination between the departments. The police department mandated to the sewer authority that these positions be staffed. Not only the detail officer's payment, the car payment that was there when they weren't, sometimes they used their own personal cars. No matter when I was there, there was no traffic more than any other normal day that the red lights could have handled by themselves. And we're spitting out, I know it ain't millions, but it, you know, pennies add up eventually. Several hundred dollars a day we're paying for police officers and cars to sit there and change the lights, but guess what? There was no need for them. I don't even think they pushed the button probably after the first 2 days. So I think we need to coordinate, because I would love, as a police officer or a police department, to be able to mandate overtime and detail pay for myself. Oh, I would love that. There has to be somebody that can check that and say, listen, you don't need this one or that one. You know, we need to save a little bit of money, because my sewer bill is twice the amount of my water bill, as is everybody else's. So as it's been said numerous times, every penny helps. And the mayor, I guess he tried to do something about it, but he told me he doesn't run the police department, which I come from Providence.
So let him.
All I'm saying is, please, going forward, can we have some little common sense coordination between the departments? I love details. When they did 195 over in Providence, I made millions of dollars. Well, okay? But, I mean, come on, enough is enough is enough. I mean, we got to cut as much as we can, whenever we can. And thank you for your effort. I appreciate it. But when I didn't get no response from all my texts and all my things and my phone calls, when I didn't get no response from anybody to change the status, that's why on Inauguration Day, you might have heard me in the back booing you all.
No.
That was the reason.
No.
Thank you very much.
I'd like to just address your comment. It's the end of the night, and it's real quick. Just like back then as today, we had a different colonel in the police department. I always let the department operate the way the department thinks it should operate. I don't usurp the powers of the chiefs in those departments. And I don't do it purposely. And I stay away, because they're much more tuned into things and they know how to do their job. That's why they're selected for those jobs. When a police detail is sent out there, the colonel on the department at that time was there for 20 years, great guy. He relies on his traffic reports and what's needed. The recommendation doesn't come from sewer to put someone out there. It comes from, at that time, Colonel McCartney. And then when Colonel Rathbun makes a recommendation for details, it doesn't come from him particularly, but it's his traffic department that are experts in that area, and they make that determination. But one thing about this guy, I don't go there, kick the door in, and tell them what to do. I rely on their expertise, and I stay out of their way. I want to know what went on afterwards so that when I'm asked by my colleagues on the council or members of the general public to keep them informed. But I will never interfere with public safety issues like that. I leave that to the experts. But just like I won't run the sewer plant. I don't know how. All those things you showed me, I don't know which button to push. But
I appreciate that, because I come from the Cianci administration. So when I heard you say that, But what I'm saying is, in this situation, they weren't experts. They weren't. Because they ended up costing all of us money that was unnecessary. And when they're helping their own members make more money, you know what I mean? It just sits wrong with me. And there has to be somebody that can step in and say, you know, maybe you went a little overboard. But thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Thank you. Any other comments on sewer board? Sewer Review Board. If not, we'll move on to Sewer Department. Oh, Sewer Department and Sewer Review Board is all in one. Okay. So I apologize. It's been a long night. Councilman?
Motion to close public hearing.
Second. Okay. Seconded by Councilman Sinapi, Councilman Lattisaw, Councilman Ricks, Councilman McElroy. All's in favor?
Aye.
All's opposed? Public hearing stands closed.